drove a long way to be here. Or did y'all fly? You flew. Thanks for coming anyway. That's more expensive than driving. But I am glad that y'all are here. I've known Steve and Kim for many years and love them in the Lord. We've had some great fellowship together. They kind of sponsored the Bible conference up in Blowing Rock, which was a tremendous success and one that everybody's looking forward to. And I certainly enjoyed it and enjoyed the time after. We stayed several days after and had a great time, but they took care of that. And it's a lot of fun when you can go to a conference and don't have any of the responsibility. Just show up and preach and enjoy it. And I appreciate Steve's ministry. They've moved around a lot. He's out in Texas now, Austin, Texas, and he's going to come and be our first speaker tonight. So Brother Steve, come on. And most of all, he's an Alabama fan.
Roll Tide. Okay. I was just about to say what was really fun tonight was watching Brother Obed up here just leading that singing. That was a real treat. I don't know if you could see his face and his eyes. That was a treat. But then he had to go and say something about the Tigers, so I'm not going to say that. Now, we always love these conferences, and Brother Steve, somebody said that this is the 37th year of this conference. I went, whoa, because 34 years ago was when we came for the first time, and we had just gotten married. Yeah, wow is right. I mean, holy smokes, the years are long, but the days sure are short. Do I have an amen to that one? Wow. But anyway, no, I always enjoy the conferences, and next year, if you can make Blowing Rock, please do. That ended up being real good. And, of course, all these conferences are great. And I'm glad tonight I think I can talk a little better than I could in Blowing Rock. I just had this stuffed under my bottom teeth and kind of still getting through this process. So bear with me here. I want to kind of start with some of the things that have been said already by some of the previous preachers. Imagine that, a preacher coming up here and saying something that's already been said. But turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. While you're turning there, I am a firm believer that the key to understanding your Bible is understanding this book called Acts and the many transitions that happen. And so all these are chapters 8, 12, and 28. Real common chapters that we use, right? But Acts chapter 17, first of all, just to kind of set some things up here. Chapter 17, verse 12, I think Sam started right out. Therefore, many of them believed. Well, our goal is for many of you to believe. The key is, why do you believe what you believe? And as Brother Sam started out last night, it's probably verse 11, because whenever you see the word therefore, you always ask yourself, why for? Verse 11. Actually, we'll start in 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Ask yourselves why. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. So there's principle one. Search the Scriptures daily, the things you hear preached, as Brother Sam so eloquently stated. Don't believe things until you see them in the Bible. I think every one of these teachers and preachers here would say, don't take it because I say it, say it because you see it in the Scriptures. Amen? Second principle, Acts chapter 8. You were told to make sure you take it yourself, see it yourself in the Scripture. Another principle, I can't remember if it was Mark or I believe it was Mark. Second principle would be, let's pull it right out of here. So Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Come down, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. First of all, if the Spirit tells you to do something, you might want to follow that principle. He didn't just say, well, okay, I'll get to it when I can. No, he ran thither. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, listen to what he's this now, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? When we're novices in the Scriptures, we need somebody guiding us. It pleased God by the foolishness of reading to save them that believe. I think I heard somebody else. No, it's not what the verse says. It pleased God by the foolishness of studying to... No, it didn't say that either. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, it takes preaching, it takes teaching, it takes somebody guiding you through the Scriptures. Now, at the end of the day, so all of these are right statements, right, that we've heard taught. At the end of the day, it's up to what do you believe? But what why do you believe what you believe? I encourage every man with his family to write a family statement of faith. We as a family believe. Salvation comes by the gospel of Christ, chapter and verse. List them out there. If you believe in water baptism, say why. If you do not believe in water baptism, say why. Put it in your statement of faith. These are the things we as a family believe. Why do you believe what you believe? Okay, so anyway, just a couple of principles as we get going here. While we're in Acts chapter 8, let's go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 8. Let me come to actually some of these things written on the board here. Acts chapter 8, of course, Acts 7, stoning of Stephen. Acts chapter, because where I'm ultimately going is also this thing about Alex and the King James Bible. All right, and people say, oh, you people that only believe King James Bible, I guess you don't believe you can get saved out of any other Bible. Well, praise God, it says it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, not by reading. So somebody can preach. You know, so we'll get there. Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of Stephen, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad, and that's the term I want you to grab here, scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Scattered abroad. Why were they scattered abroad? Saul wreaking havoc on this church, isn't he? Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Okay, so here we are, Acts 8, Acts 11. They're still talking about the stoning of Stephen. They're scattered abroad because of this. Let's jump ahead to Acts 22. And let's just look, so Paul giving an account of what he was doing back here during this time frame, Acts 8 at this time, as it leads into Acts 9. So Acts 22, just picking verse 4 there. Paul says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Did he have people committed to death? That's what it said. Come over to chapter 26. Verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Was Paul part of having the church which is at Jerusalem put to death? Is that why they were scattered abroad? Okay? Can't miss it, can we? Okay, so Acts 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In this time period, the Jews are scattered abroad. Don't miss that. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Who's scattered abroad? The 12 tribes. Would you feel that we might have a good reason to believe that James is writing to these same people that we just read about in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 11 that were scattered abroad? Does anybody have a problem with that? Okay? Most likely, James is writing to these same people. 1 Peter chapter 1. Another thing I learned is that we can from preachers between last night and this morning is we can always say, well, Brother Jerry believes that 1 Peter was written in Acts chapter 12, so I'm going to believe that too. I don't know for sure, but I do know that Brother Jerry believes that 1 Peter was written in Acts chapter 12. Did I say 2? I mean 12. In Acts chapter 12, right around this same time period. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. Okay, so he didn't include the word abroad, but it's the strangers scattered. Now, notice the next few towns that he lists. The strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, Paul did continue. So, of course, Paul gets saved in Acts 9. We all know that. Acts 13, first time we see the gospel of Christ preached, an account of. Okay, it could have been preached before that, but the first time we see the words preached, Acts 13. Keep a hand there. I think. Yes, definitely keep a finger there, a hand there, something. And come back to Acts chapter 16. Now we're going to kind of jump in the middle here, but this is referring to Paul. So in Acts 16, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they, and of course Paul's part of this, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I thought Paul was supposed to preach the gospel of Christ to everybody, right? Well, apparently the answer must be no, because right here, who forbade Paul to speak there? The Holy Ghost. Let's keep reading. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And on, of course, then he gets a vision, and he goes west into Europe. In verse 7 at the end there, the Spirit suffered them not. Wow. There's some pretty serious stuff going on here to keep Paul from preaching in some certain areas. Now I ask you to keep a hand in 1 Peter. Let's see, verse 7 again. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia. 1 Peter 1:1, there were some towns listed here. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's the same accounting right there. Those are the same places that Paul was forbidden by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, not to preach there. Okay, of course, now people who have been studying under these teachers and preachers, you know, you hear it say many times, Paul never went to the people that Peter preached to, and Peter never went to the people that Paul preached to. Okay? But I am going somewhere with this. So here in Acts 16, you see that clearly, that Paul could not go there. And son of a gun, that's who Peter writes to. James writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, if you're like me, and you are someone that understands rightly dividing, has it ever occurred to you, how do people miss this? How do people miss the fact that this is a Jewish over here? Paul's going to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, still keep First Peter. Come to Acts 22. Let's look out past time after the book of James was written, after the book of First Peter was written, and let's just see if things have changed as far as how the Jews look at Gentiles. Acts 21, verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple. Now this is not a synagogue, this is the temple. Into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, that's Paul, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further, brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. It's still a problem with Greeks and Jews and mixing the two. And here we are in Acts 21, way after the book of James is written, way after 1 Peter is written. How do people miss it? I am part of a Tuesday morning Bible study that I have nothing to do with teaching. It's one of these with men from different, it is a men's study, but from all different, and most of them probably have to be a church of 2,000 membership or more to be part of these Bible studies, but they've let me go there. And I just understood, I had quite an enlightening last Tuesday as to why people think that. Alex, what was your subject today? The authority of the King James Bible. In English, the scripture that we have is the King James Bible. You would not believe, I'm sure you would, what the ESV and the ASB and the NASB and the NIV do to 1 Peter 1:1, to James 1:1, and how they can just mix Ephesians chapter 2 right in to James 1:1 and 1 Peter 1. Yes, pick your jaws up off the floor. Unbelievable. So I printed it out here. Great way to study on your own, Brother Sam. Great way for everybody to study on your own. Brother Jerry introduced me to this. It's a Bible program, probably 18, 19 years ago, but e-sword.net. On your PC, that is a free download. And when you get this program, of course, it comes with King James for free. How about that? And it does have ESV for free in it. NIV, they're going to charge you $20, and I have yet to be able to get myself to waste that $20 and do that, but I would like to for comparative reasons, but I just can't do it. But anyway, you can compare. I don't know if you can see this back there. There's three columns. So I just have, this is 1 Peter 1:1. This is James 1:1, but King James, ESV, ASV, just because NASB comes off of the ASV. But I want to read you just two of these verses, because I think it was Mark A couple of times the verse has been read. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his what? Subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And of course, a great talk on how he changed the Word of God. See, Martin Luther said, take the book of James, it doesn't belong in the Bible, so I've done that. I'm going to lose it one of these times. Anyway, so changing words also. Listen to this now. So let's do James 1:1. So James, a servant of King James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Scattered abroad. Easy to match that up with Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 11. ESV. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, so good. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. And by the way, the word dispersion is capitalized. The dispersion, like this is some grand event. And by the way, if you do a word search in esort.net, in King James, and say, show me the verses where dispersion is used, it shows up zero times in your King James Bible. ASV, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersion, capital D. You're starting to see a theme going on here. 1 Peter 1:1, King James. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. ESV, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion, capital D, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The dispersion again, capital D. The people scattered abroad that your Bible talks about so many times back there in Acts has just become the dispersion with a capital D. Anybody else ever seen that before? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I watched this man come up here and do this Tuesday. ASV, Peter, an apostle. So this is 1 Peter 1:1 again. ASV, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion, capital D, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But I fear lest by any means, on and on the verse goes. Changing the Word of God. Now, need to grab those words again that they used here. So they went on to talk about, and by the way, these guys are all from Dallas Theological, okay? So they believe in a pre-trib rapture, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ 7 years later to set up His earthly kingdom. They believe all that part. They teach semi-dispensationalism. But amazingly, by the way 1 Peter 1:1 and James 1:1 are worded in perversions of the Word of God, like ESV. Again, I want to read 1 Peter 1:1 out of ESV. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in the towns listed. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. He went right to Ephesians 2. Remember, all these people are, now your King James says, scattered abroad. But here we're talking about elect exiles, sojourners of the dispersion. So then it's easy to go right Then they find it easy to go to Acts or to Ephesians 2 and take you then to verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens, and they will use the word in here, strangers and sojourners as well in these other perversions. aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. See, they're strangers, and they bring it right into 1 Peter 1 and James 1. And you just sit there and go, wow, that's how they do it. That's how they do it. You know, we're watching football today. One thing all those coaches do, and they'll be starting tonight when the games are over, I guarantee you, Nick Saban's going to have whoever they play next week, they're going to have those films out, and they're going to be studying their enemy. We need to know what the enemy's doing. Okay, we are not ignorant of his devices, Paul tells us. You know, Satan, our adversary. We need to know what things he's using against us. And these other perversions of the Word of God. Get that settled in your mind. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I'm just going to give you the two verses that settled it for me, or the one verse that settled it for me. And I believe Alex talked exactly about this. Somebody, and probably two or three other preachers talked about it today as well, and last night. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of, and make sure you underline that word of, highlight that word of, do everything you can to make that verse, that word, stand out to you. It's justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. See why you're making a big deal about it? Because that's the only version of in English that says of. Every other perversion of the word says in. It's a two-letter word. What's the big difference? Whose faith is of? When it says faith of Jesus Christ, whose faith is that? Jesus Christ. If it says faith in Jesus Christ, whose faith is that? Your own. Who has more faith? Is there anybody in here that would rather be justified by their own faith, as if we could, versus the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't think so. I have yet to see anybody raise their hand. Of course not. It's the faith of Christ. And somebody did a great job of going through the whole, what that faith meant. The faith of Christ to allow himself to die. Let's see, what was that again? Die for our sins. That was the faith of Christ. I guess that was probably Brother Mark that did that. Okay? That's it. And it twice in that verse. Let's complete the whole verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. If that alone doesn't settle it for you, I don't know what will, if you're still on the fence on this whole issue. But get it settled. Get it settled. While we're in Galatians 2, verse 7. But here's two major occurrences in the same chapter. Verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel to the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel to... I'm hearing people upset about that. It's just a two-letter word. What's the matter with you? Okay, obviously, I'm making a... Okay, it's the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. That's two gospels when they're gospels of. As opposed to the same gospel going to group A and the same gospel going to group B. It's just a two-letter word. But we're not ignorant of his devices. It is. It does make a difference. The three that you started with this morning, what a brilliant idea to start a conference. So how do you present the gospel first? How do you present rightly dividing shortly in a short version? And how do you talk about the King James Version? Probably three most important things right there. That was a brilliant way to start this day today. Absolutely brilliant. I hope everybody had a chance to listen to that. If not, make sure you go back to the recordings. Okay? You say, so many places you want to go. I got to share a story with you. It's still the 23rd of September, so I guess there's still time for whatever's supposed to happen today. Could still happen. And we laugh about it. But you know, next week, being September 30th, will be the 7-year, I don't know if you use the word anniversary, but it'll be 7 years ago, on the 30th, it'll be 7 years ago that Barry Hampton passed. I just happen to remember that. I always remember that. Getting that phone call on September, you were in the air, coming to Denver when we got that call. And Brother Barry Hampton would always ask people, coming back to our 15-minute ways, his way to engage people in a conversation. If you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And everywhere we go, I'd watch Barry ask, you know, there was never going to be somebody waiting on our table at a restaurant that he didn't ask them that question. We weren't going to go see some people and have a business appointment. He wasn't going to ask them that question because the answer to that matters. But it's also a great way to engage people. You know, Brother Donnie, Datto's back here from Montgomery. Datto just started going to that church a month before Barry passed. But then I had the privilege through all that to get to know, you know, Donnie and Barbara and Sailor back there, and it's great to have all three of them here at this conference today. The reason I'm bringing this up, twofold. We do just kind of glance over that. Somebody asked today, when was your time that you got saved? When was the day that you saw yourself as a lost sinner, doomed for hell, realizing there was nothing you could do to save yourself? And based on that, you did trust in that thing behind me there called the gospel of Christ. How that? The Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross died for not just our sins, but your sins. Shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sins. Was buried and raised again the third day for your justification, all according to Scriptures. When was that day? And here's why Brother Brian shared a story last night that I want to end with sharing with you. This whole September 23rd thing. Sounds pretty goofy, doesn't it? A man has been going to his church for a good while. The other day, knocking on his door. Hey, you think there's anything to this September 23rd? It got the man thinking. It got him examining his salvation. And the man said, I don't have a day. I don't have a day when I simply accepted that. How many people in here have a testimony that might be something like that? Hearing, and my hand's up because that's exactly mine. Three men, including this man right here and that man right there, preached lost believers that night, July 5th, 1983. When was your time? And when you got to start, well, let's see, maybe it was here, maybe it was there. Who was it this morning? I'm getting some of the all great preachings and teachings mixed up a little bit, but somebody even said, you know, 9/11. You know where you were, don't you? Jerry Sanders. You remember exactly where you were 9/11. And you could go through different events. Your salvation should be no different. Matter of fact, examine yourselves if it is any different than remembering it that well. Because, just like this man with Brother Brian, it got him thinking. And, praise the Lord, he did receive the free gift of salvation. He trusted in the gospel of Christ the other night because this September 23rd thing got him thinking about it. Wow, if that really does happen, where will I spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? You know, one other thing about Brother Barry Hampton. Many years ago, I mean, how many of you have ever taken your kids out to get a pair of jeans? Sunday afternoon, what do you want to do? Let's go get a pair of jeans, right? Okay, let's go, Dad. 9-year-old son, right? And she's going to get in the car and, well, it's raining. Well, let's eat first and then we'll go. So they eat first, then they jump in the car. Back out of the car, you know, so then, hey, let's make it a family affair. Let's go to Walmart, get a pair of jeans. Jump in the car. put it in reverse, right, back out of the driveway. Bam! That quick, that little 9-year-old boy, 200 yards further down the road, is gone. Barry said, the only reason I could recognize that young boy is because he still had the sneakers on his feet. Two kids drag racing in a neighborhood. 90 miles an hour. Hit the back of that car. Another lady got killed that was in Barry's car. You don't know. Not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. If you died tonight, where would you go? And why would you go there? And what? Not just why do you believe what you believe, but in what are you trusting your eternity? Yeah, this is serious stuff. It doesn't get any more serious. And you don't even have to believe the King James Bible is the Word of God in English. All you have to do is have a moment in time where you saw yourself as a lost sinner, doomed for hell, realize you couldn't save yourself, you couldn't get good enough, even blue coats don't make you any better. Just preachers are supposed to do that, I guess. When's the day that you trusted in the gospel of Christ? How that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again according to the Scriptures for your justification. And if you can't picture that day and that moment in time as well as you can picture September 11th, examine yourselves. Because all that matters is you either saved, you either is. I mean, when it comes to salvation, you either is or you ain't. Thank you.